Kings chapter 18. Familiar story, and I know that many messages have been preached from it. And many times I've endeavored to preach from this. And I was working on one thing, and I saw something else that got my attention, and God just won't let me get away from it. I'm going to try to share that this morning and pray that God would help us in a special way as we try to share with you the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 17. Will you stand, please? Doing sign language up there. I'm trying to hear myself. My mic's on. They're getting better. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. And 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege we have today to be in the house of God. Lord, thank you for the time to come and hear the songs of Zion and fellowship and enjoy the presence of the Lord. I thank you, God, for sweet spirit. Then I pray, God, for the reading of the Word of God, that you seal it to our hearts. And Father, as we endeavor to preach here this morning, I'm thinking about needs of lives and individuals and those that have been mentioned here. I'd not fail to pray for those in bereavement today, you comfort in a special way. Those that are sick, that you'd help them. And then families that are being affected, I pray you'd help them. And Father, I pray for those that are struggling in situations in their lives and they're seeking an answer from God. I pray, oh God, that you'd hear and answer prayer. God, you're the one that can do the work in hearts. You're the one that can turn hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd turn hearts unto thee. Have your way. Magnify yourself and get glory. Then, Father, I pray for this service and ask you in Jesus' name that you touch my heart, my life, my mind, illuminate. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God would anoint us to preach, help us stand in the power of God and proclaim thus saith the Lord and preach that would please you and bring glory to you. And I pray today, God, that you'd help us in a special way. I need that help. I need that touch. And I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil, and I plead the blood today, and there are those here that's lost, and they're on the road to hell, and I pray, God, that you'd arrest their hearts, as it were, and draw them, bring them to Christ, and we'll thank you. I pray for them. I plead today, God, in their behalf, and then I plead for those that are here. Their lives are mixed up and torn asunder. I pray you'd help them. I pray for those, God, that has allowed things in their lives and they've grown cold on God. I pray today be the day you minister to them and help us now to preach and we'll thank you. Encourage every heart, every life. Magnify Jesus. He get the glory and honor and praise. In his name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm thinking about the message I had on my mind I was dealing with, and I pray God, if it's be his will, let me get to that maybe tonight, the necessity of revival. There certainly is a necessity of revival in our day. We must have revival. There's a necessity of it. It's not just something we think could be nice. It's something we've got to have. And I've been thinking in that line and have some things on my heart I want to say about that. But as I read the scripture, and I already prepared, already thought about the message, but that phrase in the last verse I read to you, verse number 24, I'd never really thought about preaching from that verse per se, but here's what it said. And as he'd been talking to them and said some things, the last phrase, and said, it is well spoken. It is well spoken. And that got a hold of my heart. It is well spoken. I got to looking back, what did he say? And I got to looking at things, three things at least that I noticed that he said that was well spoken. And I thought if God said it's well spoken in his word, the people said it's well spoken, I need to look at it and find out what was spoken. And we might look at those things and say it's well spoken. I hope you'll stay with me here for a few minutes and help me if you will, and pray for me and ask God to bring to mind those things that I've thought about. And a lot of them, in fact, I didn't jot any of them down. I just been thinking, and God been working in my heart. It's well spoken. And I'm looking at what God said here. I want you to look at it with me here. And you know the story. You know the setting of it. And Ahab, the wicked king, and Elijah had prayed, shut heaven up. And by the word of God, I just mentioned to you the other day in preaching, showed you in the first part of the book of 1 Kings how that God said that he'd shut heaven up if they didn't obey and they went the wrong way. So Elijah simply prayed on the foundation of the word of God, and God did what he said he'd do, and he'd shut heaven up. And the prophets of Baal were many, and Jezebel was trying to kill the prophets of God and trying to get rid of them. And so the setting is Ahab, he's looking for Elijah because he knows that he shut heaven up, as it were, because of his prayer. And now he's concerned about that, and he's looking for him. He wants to kill him, wants to find him. And that's the setting we come to. And Baalism is on the rise, and people are worshiping Baal. And they're in a mess. And I say today, we're in a mess in America. We're in a mess in our churches. We're in a mess personally. We're in a mess. And here I see three things he said, and I want you to get it. Look with me, please, what he said. First of all, he well spoke it in verse number 17 and 18. He's talking to Ahab. Now notice what he said. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now Ahab asked Elijah, you're the ones causing the problem, and you got us in this mess. Notice what he answered. He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now here, Elijah, I believe he's answered well, and it's well spoken. Ahab came out and said, you're the problem. Did you know today that we're accused of being the problem? Fundamental Bible-believing churches and people and those that believe the word of God are being accused of being the problem in America. We're causing a problem. And because we preach truth, and because we stand on the King James Bible, and because we do what we think is right by the word of God, and preach like we preach, and stand where we stand, sing the songs we sing, and believe what we believe. We're the problem. We don't believe in abortion. And we're causing trouble because we don't believe that. And we're not in the groove. We're not with it, so to speak. And so we're causing a problem, and we're thrown a thorn in their side because we stand where we stand. And I say hallelujah. I hope that thorn sticks more and more and deeper, amen. We need it to stick today. And we believe that marriage is a man and a woman. And we stand there. And we're causing problems because we stand there. And they don't like that at all. That crowd, they call us Bible thumpers. I'm glad to be called a Bible thumper. Amen. I praise God. I'd hate to be called a Bible denier. I'd hate to be called a Bible hater. Amen. I'd hate to be called a lot of other things. And I just recently in the news, there's a fella got fired from his job and because he had a pen on and said, "In God we trust." And lawyer said the real problem was he brought a Bible to work. And I say, praise God for a man that will wire that. And he didn't know he was doing anything wrong. I don't know all the details about that. That's news. And so you take that with a grain of salt. But I believe probably it was probably happening and did lose his job over it. I say, that's a shame and a disgrace. Country founded on the Word of God and founded with the religious freedom in mind and then get fired because it said, "In God we trust." We got it on our money. It's on our coins, "In God we trust." And yet they said they couldn't have that, a company policy. I'd say, well, I wonder what they're going to do about the change they got in their pocket. It says, "In God we trust." Well, I'm just trying to preach, amen. And believe it, and we got a real problem about that kind of thing in our country today and in our churches today. We got a problem about it because they say we're the trouble. And we're the ones causing the problem. We're causing split in religious beliefs because we believe what we believe, and we won't give in to that crowd that says it doesn't make any difference and you ought not be so dogmatic about what you believe. It would help things a whole lot if you just calm it down and wouldn't get upset about Muslims and Buddhists and all that kind of, and Mormons and Jehovah Witness and all that kind of thing. You ought to calm it down and not say anything about that. I say hogwash on the whole crowd. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way there is to heaven. And if that divides, let her divide. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. If that divide us, we'll just be divided. He well spoke it. He said, hey, I'm not the trouble. You're the trouble. And you're the one causing a problem because you haven't kept the commandments of God and you followed after Balaam. That's where we are today. That's where society is today. And haven't kept the commandments of God, don't care what God said, and just follow the world and go with Baalism. And Baalism, anything that's outside of worship of the true and the living God is Baalism. Amen. And you say, well, they're sincere. They're sincerely wrong too if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way there is to heaven. You say, preacher, today our society, we've outgrown that old-fashioned stuff. That's our problem. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We've outgrown that old-fashioned stuff. We need to bring back the old-fashioned way. Ask for the old pains and walk therein, amen, and live for God. Wrong's wrong, right's right, and just let it fall where it may and believe what God said, amen. I believe that with all my heart. And so Ahab saying, "You're the problem. You've shut heaven up." Hey, listen, young folk, you just remember this. God loves you, cares about you, and live for God. Stay close to God. And don't pay attention to what that crowd out there says. They'll never tell you anything. Amen. They'll tell you, you got to get with the groove, and you're going to be left out, and you're going to be odd, and all that kind of stuff. Fact is, the Bible says we're an odd bunch anyway. We're a peculiar kind. And they think we're touched in the head. What really happened to us, we got touched in the heart. Amen. And when I got touched in my heart, it affected my head. Amen. My heart affected my head. Now I don't think like they think. And so they think I'm crazy, and I think they're crazy. They think I'm off on the deep end. I know they're off on the deep end. Amen. Anybody that killed babies, they got to be off on the deep end. And they got to be gone, amen, and say it's wrong to wire a pen, says in God we trust, or that kind of thing. And I say, may God help us in our day. And we're being accused of that, but let me bring it down, not just in society, but the fact of churches And we need help and standing for truth and standing for right. If we're not careful, we'll sit in fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches and begin to lean a little bit to the left. Because we're bombarded with everything and think, well, that preacher, he's old and he's narrow-minded, and we have to take him with a grain of salt. And you can take me with a grain of salt, a grain of sugar, or a grain of anything else. I like coffee, so you can take a grain of that. You can take a grain of whatever you want to take a grain of. It's still truth. I don't care what your age is. It doesn't make a difference to me. In fact is, I don't much give a kitty anymore about that kind of thing, because it doesn't make a difference to me, because God's God and God's right. And I just want to exalt him, let him get glory and honor and praise, and the rest of the crowd can say what they want to. Amen. And they're saying, there's something wrong with us down here. Maybe people pass by our church and they think something wrong. That's that gateway bunch down there. They're really odd. They do things different. Amen. They expect women to dress like women and go to church, and they expect them to, expect men to look like men. That crowd down there, they're just kind of mixed up, you know. They're not with the groove. I say hogwash on that crowd. Amen. I think we're pleasing God, trying to. We're far from being everything we ought to be, but at least we're trying. At least we're trying to hold the ropes and trying to hold it in the road and trying to keep it out of the ditch. Amen. And I pray God to help us. Now, I want to do it with compassion and love. I mean, people come in, I want to help them. Amen. That crowd comes in, they don't know him better. I want to love them and try to help them. What bothers me about a crowd been around for a long time, they still want to live like a devil. Amen. Just thought that'd help, amen. And just toss that and that for you. But I'm telling you, and then Ahab said, now you're the trouble. And now Elijah, they've been trying to kill him. And God told him to hide himself, and he did. He obeyed God, but God said, go show yourself. And Elijah didn't hesitate about that. He just went and told Obadiah, said, find Ahab and tell him I'm here. He said, I'm afraid to tell him because you'll be gone. He said, no, I'm going to wait around for him. I'll be here. Now, it scrutinizes it a little bit, but that's not word for word, but that's what he's saying to him. And Ahab comes. When he found him, boy, he's excited. And he said, now, we haven't had any rain for 3.5 years. Everything's drying up. We're trying to find grass for our cattle. And we're hungry. And we need some help. And you're the problem. You've messed everything up. He said, oh, no, you got it all wrong. I'm not the problem, but you are. And you and your house, you haven't kept the commandments of God. And you followed after Balaam. America's problem tonight, today, whatever time it is, it is not the fundamental Bible-believing people. Our problem is a liberal crowd that has sold us out and selling us down the drain. Amen. That crowd that goes in the pulpit and wears their polo shirts and says, well, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. We just come to have a good time. Get us a rock band and let's have some good old time rock music and everything will be just fine. We'll give you a little, everything's going to be all right. Everything's positive. Everything's good. And boy, everything's on. That's how they go. That's how they go. Everything's not good. Everything's not okay. And we're in a mess. Amen. And we need to repent because we haven't kept the commandments of God. Amen. We didn't get in the shape we're in. You say, why is all these tragedies happening? Why is America in the shape she's in? Because of sin. Yeah. It's not because Bible preaching churches. That's not the problem. The problem is we don't have enough of them. The problem is we're running behind on our end of it. Well, I got to get off of this, but I just can't help myself. God just burned it in my heart, and I got to think about well-spoken. Well-spoken, we're not the problem. If you love God, now if you don't love God, by the way, plug this in, if you don't love God, you're not saved, you're on the wrong side here in this issue. You're in the wrong place. I'm talking about not in church now, that's the right place to be. I'm talking about in your life. You're siding with the devil instead of God, and that messes you up, and you're siding with that crowd. But let me show you something else he said. In verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now, later they said it's well spoken when he got down and what he's talking about the sacrifice. But here, I don't say today, he well spoke it when he spoke to them and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve him. If God's not God, then let's find out whoever God is and serve him. If Baal's God, then let's follow after him. But if God is God, and by the way, he is God. If God be God, then serve him. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one, love the other, or despise the one, cleave the other. You can't serve God and man at the same time. You can't serve two at the same time. So if God's God, then let's serve him. I'd say it's well spoken. I believe we need to preach that today too in our churches. If God's really God, then let's put God first in our life. Let's put God first. Let's put his church first. Let's put his work first. Let's really serve God. Let's quit playing around. Let's quit dealing around with it and put God where God ought to be. Amen. Amen. Hey, good preaching, preacher. Preach on. Preach on. Preach on. Amen. I say we need that kind of preaching. We got in our churches and we play around with it and do what a little bit here, a little bit there. But when it comes down to being faithful and serving God, if something comes along a little bit more important, that's what we do. We think it's more important. What's more important than being in the house of God on the Lord's day? What's more important than serving God? You tell me one thing that's more important than just letting God be God in our life and serving him and trusting him. I believe tonight that we need God. Amen. And in our lives getting mixed up and all this kind of mess we get in, people shack up and all that kind of stuff. And you say, preacher, you don't never say nothing about that. If you're doing it, it's wrong. I don't care. Amen. It's wrong. Just wrong. And preacher, you don't understand. It's not a matter whether I understand or not. It's a matter whether God understands or not. And when God calls it sin, amen. And people will lie and tell you a lie. And I had a man in Rural Retreat tell me, he said, talking about somebody, said they climb a tree backwards to tell you a lie before they stand on the ground and tell you the truth. I thought, amen, we got something like that. And they'll lie to you. You ask them something, and they'll beat around the bush about it and go around about and then tell you a flat out lie and at you and say, everything's fine. I'm doing good. Everything's hunky-dory. A bunch of baloney. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. Some of you look like you kind of look blue around the gills. But I'm trying to help you. Amen. If we're going to have real revival, it's going to have to be well spoken. And we're going to have to face it like it is. And just admit, we're holding some time between two opinions. And we really have to wrestle about some things. Some people, now not everybody, but some people, they wrestle about what is right and what is wrong. And God's put it down in his word pretty plain. And plain enough that anybody can understand it, what's right and what's wrong. And his word is truth. It said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And not bear false witness. And isn't that pretty plain? Doesn't that come across pretty obvious to you? It does to me. And then he said this. Now, here's what I really wanted to get to. I'm just kind of set the table, and it won't take me but a few minutes to say what I really want to say. But I'm setting the table in all of this. He's well-spoken when he talked to Ahab. He said to him, you're the problem, not us, not me, you. And some people try to act like a preacher's a problem because he preaches like he preaches. He's the problem. No, that's not the problem. And then he's talking to the people and told them not to halt between two opinions. Some people get irritated because the preacher tells them not to halt between two opinions. They ought to love God, get right with God, live for God, stay in there for God, be faithful to God, and just don't like that. But now here comes the real thing he's talking about. Look in verse number 24. Well, let's back up verse 23. Said, let them, talking about prophets of Baal, 450 of them, said, let them give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And said, I'll dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. They said, that's well spoken. And so they agreed it was well spoken. So the people accepted what he said and said, it's well spoken. And boy, I got to thinking about that and said, whoop, hallelujah. I got some thoughts running through my mind now. And let me ask you a question. As they smoking marijuana, has it ever really helped anybody? That illicit sex, has it really ever helped anybody about anything? That cussing, has it really helped anybody about anything? And that false God you got that's so important, you think, in your life, has it really helped anybody anytime, anywhere? But has it ever brought any fire in the church? Has it ever really? And that's something that takes a place and takes you away from church, away from God, and away from revival meeting and all that. Has it ever really brought any fire into the church? Has it really, ever really helped anybody get in a Holy Ghost conviction? Has it ever? What really brings the fire of God anyhow? And here Elijah's saying, let's see who answers by fire and let him be God. On the day of Pentecost, it said it was like a cloven tongues of fire set on them. God's presence came and sat down on them. I say hallelujah, amen. And tonight, I keep saying tonight. I like to preach at night, I reckon. But anyway, I'm talking it's daytime and fire of God. I want to see the fire of God come. I don't see God set it on fire. I want God to burn revival in my heart and your heart. I don't call on a God that can send the fire. I want that fire to burn inside of me and burn. Show me my sin. Get me where I need to be. I want God to have his way. God to move. God to stir. Where are you at in this thing anyway? You think you're helping God out in it? You think you're helping the fire in it? You fanning the flame in it? Are you helping God bring the fire in? Are you just sitting around thinking, well, I wish he'd hush. I'm hungry. I wish he'd let us go. You know, it's time to go. We got to get out. No, it's time to get right with God. We need some fire. And that fire, you remember Paul putting the wood on the fire and Acts there? As he did so, and the snake bit him and shook it off in the fire. Boy, we need the fire burning so we can shake some snakes off. Get some things out of our lives. But the fire's got to burn. And revival is just getting the fire back in our hearts. That first love. That fire burning inside that says, yes, yes to God. And other things come up saying, that's wrong. God's got to be first. God's got to be first, or it's not right. And that's the fire of God. Who answers? What brings fire anyway in the church? People laying out or people being faithful? What brings fire in the church? People praying or people playing? What brings fire in the church? People that really care, people just take it or leave it. What brings the fire in the church? It's what God does in our hearts that brings the fire in the church. It's us that are faithful and pray and believe God and trust God, sing praises, get a touch of God, get God on our minds and on our hearts more than anything else in the world. That brings the fire of God. We need some fire. We need some fire. The flame's going down. We need some fire. May God help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray you'd help us today. You said it's well spoken. And I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I read in your word where that crowd there in Acts said those men turned the world upside down. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what's happening. But Lord, they were on fire for God. And they were letting that flame burn high. And they were going out and doing what they're supposed to be doing for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you'd help us, God, that we'll let that flame burn high in our hearts, our lives. Magnify yourself, get glory, get praise, get honor. God help us, I praise you people, that we'll let the fire burn, fan the flame, let the breeze from another world come through. God give us revival. And those folks said it's well spoken. Lord, the problem, the difficulty, those that won't let God have his way. The difficulties, those who hold them between two opinions. difficulty is calling on the wrong God. Baal couldn't hear. Baal couldn't answer. But oh, God did. God did. Help us here today to let God have his way. I want you to stand to your feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People are praying.